This is local representative government. And our job is to look ahead, to plan, to do our due diligence, to collect the data, to collect the information, listen to what folks have to say, gather input, but we're not going to make everyone happy all the time.
Pod BN.
Elections Edition. From the Play Normal Esports Studio, this is Pod BN Election Edition. I'm Tyson.
And I'm Justin.
And today we are going to talk to R.C. McBride, another incumbent.
Yeah, for the Town of Normal Council, he's going to be running for one of the three open seats three seats up for election, I should say, on the Town Council.
And we talk about economic development, like we do with most candidates. Of course, we talk about Uptown as well.
All the good buzzwords.
Yep. And so before we get into that, we would also like to thank Little Beaver Brewery, innovative beers and innovative names. Names like Little Bit of Wonderful, Super Bright, Maple Cheat Day, Jitters, Vanilla Festivalia. Did I get that right?
You'd have to ask Chad.
Sounds good to me.
Festivalia.
Yeah, and you can ask Chad by going over to 16 Currency Drive, Unit B, next to the Large Golds Gym.
All right, ready to talk to RC?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1. We are sitting with R.C. McBride, Normal Town Councilman, and currently running for re-election for the first time. R.C., welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Absolutely. Let's start off, just give us a little bit about your background. Tell us where you grew up, where you're from, and how you ended up in Normal.
Well, I came here like a lot of folks originally as an Illinois State University student. So I grew up in Danville, Illinois, spent the first 20 years or so of my life there, and came to Illinois State as a transfer student, as a junior, graduated, left for a year or two, and wound up coming back in 1997 for a job at WJBC. And like a lot of folks in a lot of different industries, my thought at that time was, well, this is a nice little place. I'll be here for 2, 3, 4 years tops, and then I'll be on to the next thing, right? And at some point, it very much became home for my wife and I, and this is where we've chosen to raise our family, and we're very, very happy with that decision. So I worked at WJBC in a number of different capacities, but mostly as program director for the last 12 years I was there. I left in 2012 to go to Illinois State University and worked in university marketing and communications. And since January 1st, 2017, I've been the executive director or general manager, whatever term you prefer, for WGLT, which is the public radio station owned and operated by Illinois State University.
Okay. Very good. So you got a Normal Town Council in 2015.
Correct.
That was your first dive into an elected office, is that right?
That is correct. Prior to that, I'd served on Planning Commission since 2006, and my current colleague and the woman who was elected at the same time I was in 2015, she and I were on Planning Commission together, Kathleen Lorenz, for, I believe, 8 of those 9 years. So we've got some history working together.
So go back to before you were on planning. Mm-hmm. What sparked that interest? What led you to get on a commission or a board?
I've always been involved in community, and certainly been very community-minded, and I think part of that, and we may get into this a little bit later, was kind of being curious about what was happening to my hometown while I was growing up. So I've always had an interest in those things. I was the nerd who read the newspaper when I was 8 or 9 years old and watched the news and listened to the news. And I was naturally at some point drawn into journalism. And I was a news reporter for several years early on in my career. So I was always had an interest in what's happening around me. And then in 2006, Mayor Coos asked me if I'd be interested in taking, at that time, Alan Sender's spot on the Planning Commission. I believe Alan had been there for, I don't know, 11 or 12 decades by that point. But I said, sure, why not? And found it to be very interesting. And I also think it's a great proving ground, and you know this. It's you know, in some ways, I don't know, like a city council junior varsity team, and you get to see a lot of how things work. So enjoyed my time there.
In your time there, what was some of the more notable topics that came up or controversial things, things that you recall from being on that time?
It was interesting to be on the Planning Commission about then because, of course, when the recession hit in 2008, I mean, things were going at a pretty frantic pace in Bloomington Normal, as in a lot of places for a while. And then the recession hit. I think it impacted here a little bit later than it did some places, but it certainly did impact. So in later years, there was not nearly as much going on. But there were some land use issues, some student apartment-related issues that came up, some apartment complexes that were built, form-based code, Main Street Corridor were all issues that we tackled. And then the one I'll always remember is there was an effort to legalize chicken coops in the town of Normal.
Yeah.
And they really didn't fit neatly into anywhere else into zoning, or so they, okay, well, that's a land use and residential, it's code, so it came through Planning Commission, and that was it seems funny now, but it was a highly controversial issue. And at that time, I had to cast the tie-breaking vote. I was the vice chair, but the chair was out of town, of course. And I just remember sitting there and, oh, you've got to be kidding. This is going to come down to a tie, and I cast the last vote. And I cast the last vote in favor of it, only to, at the time, have the city council then turn around and reject it.
Oh, so interesting. So Normal Planning... So Justin and I are on the Planning Commission in Bloomington. So we're dealing with chickens and bees right now. So that's interesting to know that history. I knew it wasn't allowed in Normal. I didn't know that planning passed it and then council struck it down.
Yeah, and we have a similar setup to what Bloomington does. Again, we recommend. We don't necessarily approve. Yeah. We recommend approval. And we did, and council at that point. And you'd have to talk to the council at that time about their decision-making
process.
Didn't
do it. Yeah.
How does that how did that make you feel when a planning, and that one was maybe a bad example because it sounds like that was a close vote.
Right.
But have you had a situation where maybe it was a little bit of a more closer to unanimous vote on planning and then it gets to council and they go the other way? Do you remember instances like that?
I do remember instances. Now, specifically, I don't remember what those instances were. As far as how that felt, I always felt that on Planning Commission, you know, of course, it's much, and I believe it's this way in Bloomington, too, it's much more freeform as far as public comment. I mean, that's really one of the biggest reasons you're there, is just to take that all in and to ask good questions and really to listen and consider and then make the recommendation. So I always felt we had a really good group and a really engaged group who did that. Mm-hmm. And you both know sometimes you might feel a little bit like you're being yelled at because people feel passionate about something, but it's not directed at you. Your job is to listen. And I always felt very confident that we did our job. So I didn't get too hung up on, it was always better if the council agreed with you. It was reaffirming, but I didn't get too worried if they didn't.
How do you think that shaped you now on council when you look at recommendations coming up from planning or ZBA?
That's a great question. I have tried to, and it's funny, Kathleen and I have talked about this a lot. And I don't want to say our colleagues don't have an appreciation for the commission, because some of them came up through different boards and commissions as well. But I think I've always tried to keep in mind that can be a difficult job. Mm-hmm. And when something comes before us, I absolutely pay attention and read the minutes. And I try not to attend the meetings themselves a lot because I don't, that might freak out the current commissioners a little bit. I don't want them to feel like they're being watched. But, I always try to keep in mind what they're going through.
Okay. So you served on the commission for, you said, 9 years?
Mm-hmm.
And where did the leap come to start running for a town council?
Well, at that point, and again, going back years and years, well before I was on Planning Commission, it was covering the city or the town or either school boards was never my set beat. I was usually the backup person, but I certainly had a lot of experience covering those meetings. And even going back into my hometown, my first radio job was when I was 16 years old. So I've certainly been to a lot of council meetings over the years. And again, you take an interest. You take an interest in the future of your community. And at that point, 2015, Sonia Reese had announced that she was not running again. So that opened up a free spot, if you will. So at that point, I decided to go ahead and take the leap.
So was there any issues going on at that time that motivated you to run, or was it just type, I've been doing this planning thing for 9 years, what's the next step?
I don't want to belittle anybody that considers themselves single issue, but I've always, you know, been a little wary of folks who consider themselves a single issue. Now, there have been some good stories where maybe one issue has sparked somebody to take an interest,
right.
But I know I've always tried to take a big picture, long-term view of things. And frankly, the town of Normal has been headed in a good direction. The trajectory is good, pardon me. And I still feel that way. I felt that way at the time. And I wanted to be part of continuing that forward momentum.
So you mentioned you're from Danville.
Mm-hmm.
I have not spent a lot of time in Danville, but I've driven through it a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it had some economic issues of its own. I'll let you kind of explain what happened in Danville.
Well, I think, you know, there are a lot more Danvilles in the Midwest than there are Bloomingtons or Normals. And I think sometimes we all forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the advantage of a major university or a Fortune 50 company,
right,
located here, or three interstates, or all sorts of other things that we have going for us in Bloomington Normal. So I think it was a pretty typical story that if you were to rewind 50 years, you see a place that's pretty vibrant for a small Midwestern town. You know, there's a lot going on, healthy commerce, great parks, strong schools, strong local arts initiative. And jobs started to disappear. These were all blue collar jobs, or predominantly blue collar jobs. So those jobs, the factory closes, things like, you know, brands that were a big deal in their day that may not mean anything to you guys, like Chuckles Candy and Windbreaker Jackets, which was actually a brand name of jackets. You know, these factories start leaving, and first they go south, and then to Mexico, and then overseas. Well, there was no plan for that. They happened in such quick succession, they got caught up in something much bigger than the community itself. But it was just decimated. You know, and Danville to this day still has, depending on the report, often the highest unemployment in the state. You know, they might sink to second highest at some point. So they've never really recovered from that.
So how has growing up there and coming from that shaped some of your decisions here in Normal?
I think perspective. You know, we live in a community where we are investing in ourselves. We are investing in infrastructure. We are investing in our downtown or uptown, in our case. We have still strong public schools. We invest in our parks. We have a first-rate police department and fire department. So I think that perspective is important to keep in mind. But I also, the other piece of it is, and I think this is one of the things that separates Normal and Bloomington from the pack in the Midwest, is there is always an eye to the future. And not just 6 months or 6 years down the road, but 20, 25 years down the road. And I really think that that's something that makes a difference for our communities.
Yeah, Kathleen mentioned that something she likes about Normal town government is that you have a plan and you work the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're referring to?
Absolutely. And that tradition goes back. I mean, that's not, you know, I'm a tiny little part of that. One term. And who knows, it may only be one term on city council. I'm a tiny little part of that. People worked hard, really, for generations prior to get us to that point and to instill that culture in this community. And it's our job to keep that moving forward.
So let's think about, there's been a lot happen on to the town, especially to uptown, but also other places during your 4 years. What are some of the things that you think of that you're particularly proud to have been a part of?
You know, it's funny. Sometimes when you're in the midst of it, you don't realize. But it has been a busy 4 years, and there's a lot, I think, to be proud of. You know, a few things that stand out immediately for me is getting Rivian here. People don't realize, or I shouldn't say, some people don't realize just how close, you know, Mitsubishi brought in a company that, you know, if they can't sell it, they strip it down and flatten it. We were very close to that happening. It didn't happen. Again, I'm a small piece of that, but I'm very proud that that's happened. I'm proud that we have continued, again, to invest in the nuts and bolts things like roads and water and sewer and parks and fire and police. You know, the stage one implementation of our long-range fire plan is with the new fire headquarters on Main Street is exciting. Some of the other accomplishments that I'm proud of, you know, welcoming cities. I think that was important in the time that we were living in, and I think that was beneficial to everyone in the community, including our police department. Passing a multi-family recycling ordinance, that was something that was very important to Illinois State University students, but not just to Illinois State University students. I heard from folks who lived in apartments elsewhere in the community. If you've noticed, you know, a few years ago, it didn't get a lot of coverage at the time, but we, for lack of a better term, redlined gaming or gambling in town, and I'm proud of that. A year ago, we had to make some tough budget decisions, and I'm not proud that we had to do it, but I'm proud that we did what we had to do, if that makes sense. And we made a small change at that time that I think has been very beneficial. The town over the years, you got your water, trash collection, sewer bill every other month. Mm-hmm. Well, that made it very difficult for some folks who are maybe living paycheck to paycheck or month to month to pay that bill. And it was very easy for them to fall behind if they were having difficulty budgeting. So we had to spend a little bit of money, but we changed that to monthly. I think that's a win. So now I'm rambling, and I apologize for that, but it's been a pretty busy 4 years.
So take the opposite of that. What are some things over the last 4 years that maybe you wanted to accomplish but you were not able to, or something that maybe you got that did get passed that you were in opposition of?
I'm very disappointed, and there is plenty of blame to go around. I'm very disappointed that our relationship with Bloomington is not better than it is. And I made some overtures and had some partners on the other side of Division Street, and we were never really able to get things going the way that they should. And really the way I think everybody independently knows that we need to work together more, but it's making that happen, and I pledge to be better at that, and I'm not going to give up on that. The Metro Zone decision Bloomington made makes it much more difficult.
Right.
I mean, it really does, and I think it's very easy, if you stop and think, if you're in Normal, to see where Bloomington was coming from in making that decision.
Let's give a high level of what this Metro Zone is, just for people that weren't sure. So this came about as part of the Mitsubishi deal.
Well, Mitsubishi was only a part of it. This was actually larger scale than just Mitsubishi.
Okay.
And essentially this was a cooperation agreement on the west side of town where the two of us, you know, the two entities cooperated on things like infrastructure, and it was to develop that area of town, and that area has developed. And
this is the area that is west of the interstate, right?
Correct.
It's like the interstate center. Did it go up to where that the movie theater is?
Yeah,
there?
The Walmart, the whole, Walmart. Yeah, it's a large area. And, you know, and we the town of Normal, again, before I got there, put funding into that. And early on, for many years early on, when all the money was pooled and then divvied up, Bloomington received some money, and then in recent years, Normal was coming out ahead on that agreement.
And when you say coming out ahead, it's because both communities invested in the infrastructure and some of the development, but then you were splitting the revenues, the taxes, and those type of things
correct.
Coming from that.
Okay. Yeah. And again, those things ebb and flow. And I would, if I were on the Bloomington City Council and I would see this check going to the town of Normal every year for $1.3 million, I'd have some questions and some concerns. So, you know, I get it. I don't think the City Council handled it pretty well, or handled it well at all in Bloomington by, you know, stopping it cold. I think a 2-3-4 year phase out would have been better. But that said, we reacted very strongly with a strongly worded statement calling the City of Bloomington untrustworthy. And I regret doing that in hindsight.
You
know, it's, I think it maybe felt better for a minute or two.
Right. But we've just, all been there in different circumstances.
Exactly. And just because you think something doesn't mean you have to say it, right? And, you know, without getting too much into detail, I had some reservations about it at the time, whether it was the right thing to do, but decided to sign on to it in the interest of council unity.
Sure.
Which I also think is very important. So I don't regret the council unity part of it. But again, if you had to rewind, or if you had the opportunity to rewind, I think maybe we'd do things differently. And I hope Bloomington, frankly, would say the same.
What does it look like in the future under a perfect scenario of those two communities getting along? What I mean, are we talking joint meetings or what?
Well, I think there are some, you know, and one-on-one meetings happen pretty frequently and often very casually.
Yeah.
And I continue to have those. I know a lot of my colleagues do as well. You know, part of it is, and there have been some good signs. I mean, you know, the fact that the city of Bloomington decided to go ahead and pay a portion of the multi-sports complex impact study, I thought was a promising sign. Small amount of money,
sure,
but symbolically, I think that meant a lot. I was not expecting that. So, you know, so there's progress. And
it seems to be part of the platform of, I think, of all the candidates we've talked to so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems I'm picking up that both from the perspective of the incumbents and from those wanting to come in, that everyone seems to share this goal.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I'll say this and no more on the subject, but there are some personalities that were involved previously that are no longer involved.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So Looking forward, if you were to win re-election, which the election's on April 2nd, what are the things that are going forward now? So what are some key points that you'd like to see get accomplished over the next 4 years?
I'd like to see us continue to execute our long-term plans, I mean, first and foremost. And I know that, but then the other part of that is you lay the groundwork to develop the longer-term plans, right? I am a proponent of Uptown 2.0. Not sure I love the branding of that, but it's a little too on the nose, as they say. But you know, I am a proponent of that. I think there's a lot that can be done there with library and maybe some diverse and more equitable housing options and some more office space. I would love to see something happen with the multi-sports complex, although I'm not terribly optimistic. So things like in making sure that we do long-range sewer plans, not the most exciting thing in the world, but awfully important, particularly,
yeah.
And you notice it very quickly when things go wrong. Water infrastructure, expanding Constitution Trail, continuing to leverage that community asset, continuing to do a lot of the basic stuff that doesn't necessarily, again, sound terribly exciting, but is very, very important to do. And again, always looking forward. I think sometimes there are folks that, well, you know, Uptown's done or this is done. We can lay that on a shelf and stop. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to the halfway point, so one of the fun things we like to do, and I think it's fun, is do a little bit of a lightning
round.
We'll
see. Do I get an opinion?
So I'm going to say a word. I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind. It does not have to be one word, but try to keep it less than five or six. And if there's something we want to expand on after this, we can always talk about
sure.
The second half. So here we go. First one is Illinois State University.
Redbirds.
TIF districts.
Misunderstood.
Shops at College Hills.
Success.
Uptown Normal.
Huge success.
Mark Peterson.
Legend.
Connect Transit.
Oh my gosh! Can I take the legend back? That's going to go right to his head.
But
I'll just. I know we mean to interrupt, but that's something else too. We have been extremely fortunate with three city managers.
Yeah.
Since 1969.
That's an incredible stat.
All of whom are fantastic people.
Yeah, I agree. Next one was Connect Transit.
Integral.
Urban sprawl.
To be avoided.
Portillo's.
Success.
And Mayor Chris Coos.
Leader.
All right. We'll take a quick break because we're going to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be back to maybe expand on some of those. Maybe you're walking along the sidewalk and suddenly drop your new phone. Maybe that tablet the grandparents communicate with you on and video chat with the kids is broken. Well, that's why you want to call Normal Gadgets. Every day, their dedicated staff works obsessively to get you back in shape with your phone, tablet, watch, gaming system, and laptop. Thanks to Normal Gadgets for being a sponsor of Pod BN. Come visit them at 802 South El Dorado Road in Bloomington to get your gadgets back to normal.
So now that we've got a chance to get to know you a little bit and hear about your experiences, I'd like to talk a bit about your platform and why you're running for re-election. So I have your main platform points in front of me here. We've got experience, leadership, courage, and thoughtful, inclusive progress. Mm-hmm. So you're clearly proud of your experience and your record. You stand behind your record and the major decisions that have been made. So let's go on to the next one then. Leadership, courage. What kind of things are you thinking of when you say that?
Well, and, you know, leadership, courage, political courage. I think that is something that at times, well, it is. It's lacking in Washington. It's lacking in Springfield. I don't think I'm breaking any new ground by maybe suggesting that. And, you know, the fact is this is local representative government, and our job is to look ahead, to plan, to do our due diligence, to collect the data, to collect the information, listen to what folks have to say, gather input, but we're not going to make everyone happy all the time. Lincoln put it best, so I'm not going to try to top that, but it can't happen. So sometimes you have to make decisions even though you get a little pushback from that. And a lot of times the pushback is very understandable and very legitimate. Now, I'll just bring up one example. Water rates. We've raised for a couple of years now water rates annually 2%. The plan is, with this budget cycle, to probably do that again. And I understand that for some folks, you know, every penny counts. But that said, my belief is, if you don't raise it 2% this year, then it has to be 5% the year after that. If you don't do it after 2 years, then it becomes 9%, then it becomes 14%, and then all of a sudden you're deferring infrastructure investment, and then 10, 15 years down the road, you've got a big problem. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's better to rip the mandate off, take a little criticism, if you can justify your position and believe that that's the right thing to do. So that's what I mean by political courage. I think that, my colleagues have that, and I believe I have that. And I've said it before, you might not always agree with me. In fact, it's quite likely that you'll disagree with me on something or other, but you're always going to know where I stand and why I stand there.
So one of the places that's happening right now in Normal, hot topic, I think you know where I'm going, is the mural. So can you explain your perspective on that issue?
Sure. It's really cool that the mural has become, you know, kind of, and it's strange how these things sometimes happen by accident, and that's no knock on anybody. I just, you know, it has. It's become a cool selfie place, and that's great. And I think through this process that the town has heard loud and clear that local artwork, placemaking, being able to differentiate ourselves, that is important. I mean, I think we suspected it, but we've been reminded of that here. But that said, again, this goes back into, you know, working the plan. You know, since the early 2000s, the plan has been to eventually build 5 buildings around the circle. That's why the town bought properties on the northeast and northwest corners to begin with. Now, in the intervening time, we had the financial crisis, all sorts of jumbling and changes with the economy associated with that. So I understand, too, that, you know, the plan has been on the books so long, and we've been making incremental progress, that some folks maybe weren't here when the plan was, you know, established, or people just lose sight of it, right? It's our job as the elected officials to have a much better idea of what's going on That's our job, is to watch those things. So I get all that. So that said, let's talk a little bit about the project itself. I mean, we have a project for a building that is 80% committed at this point, that is going to bring 300 jobs to Uptown, which is going to be a boom for local businesses up there. We have a food hall concept that I think is very exciting, that continues to gather steam in a lot of college towns and larger cities, that I think would be a great fit. And you have 200-plus construction jobs to make that happen. Doesn't make the mural unimportant, or, you know, that I'm heartless about the mural, but on things on balance, this is an exciting project. It's also worth noting that a lot of communities don't see this kind of investment. A lot of communities cannot make a project like this happen. We're very fortunate that we're in a position that we can make that happen. So, again, it's a good thing. And, you know, with the mural, we're going to see what we can do, the due diligence. It's also worth noting that, you know, it needs tuck pointing, and I'm not sure how much longer that mural could survive without a heavy intervention anyway.
So, pivoting more to that overall project, it's easy to make a comparison between that building and the one that's already been constructed. Is that called Normal One?
Uptown One.
Yep. Uptown One.
Mm-hmm.
So that hasn't been taking off.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
so compare those for us from your perspective.
I think, unfortunately, first of all, they are different types of progress or projects. This one is much more office space than the other one. I mean, it's. And it's going to host a lot more workers than Uptown One is. The residences in Uptown One, you know, last I've heard, they're at, I think, 15 of the 21 are full, and they fully expect that they'll be completely full inside a year or two. And that is not an unusual pace for that sort of project. So, you know, it's out there that somehow it's not been successful. I don't think that's true, and that runs counter to the facts. Now, that said, when you have the first floor that is vacant, I get that that is not a good look. And I've been on the record as being very unhappy about that. As far as I'm concerned, the developer is in breach of contract. Now, you have a couple of options then, right? You can continue to work with the developer to try to get something done, and staff continues to do that. And I do believe something will be done sooner rather than later.
That's not the same developer?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So we continue to move forward. Something I think will get done. But again, am I happy about it? I'm angry about it. I really am. And I'm disappointed. But, you know, you can get angry, you can stomp your feet, or you can try to work with them, and staff continues to do that, and that's why I'm confident that will get done. So, but they are different projects. I mean, the project we're talking about with Trail East has a lot more office space. They have commitments for this. As I said, they're 80% committed at this point. So that's a very good sign. And one company has been very public about what that is. There are two more employers that apparently are involved, and they're just not ready to go public with that information just yet. So, again, I'm excited about it. I understand why some are not, but on balance, I think it's a really good thing. And one other note, too, about historic preservation, because, you know, there's been concern about those buildings coming down. On balance, the town has a very strong record of historic preservation, whether it's all the Uptown grants that we've given, whether it's intervening in historic neighborhoods to remove non-conforming properties, as we've done, whether it's Normal Theater. I'm very confident that we can show a good historic preservation record.
Moving from Uptown 1, and you mentioned that library could be a project in Uptown 2.0, mm-hmm. and you serve on the Town of Normal Library Planning Committee. Am I accurate
yes.
with that?
Yep.
So talk about some of the library's struggles or difficulties in Normal, and what type of progress you see happening over the next 4 or 5 years with that.
The library has been so successful mm-hmm. that they've run out of programming space. And I am some... one who feels that libraries are more important in 2019 than maybe they ever have been. But I kind of grew up, as I told you earlier, I was a nerd, if you want to call me that, and I read a lot and spent a lot of time at my local library. Libraries are integral to thriving, vibrant, successful communities. It's the case in Bloomington. That's the case in Normal. So, and they have plans to continue to expand programming and serve people who need that programming and desire that programming. And that's going to be very difficult for them to do within their current footprint. And then the building itself dates to the early 70s, one part of it does. It's not unusual, and then there have been a couple of additions since then. They're also starting to face some structural issues. So a decision has to be made. How much do you want to put into the existing facility, or are we better off just starting from scratch and building a new one? The library board actually decided to do a study to see what it would take to rebuild or gut the place and in its current location, and that the determination was is it's not much cheaper to do that than it is to build a new library.
Right. So you're the first one I'm throwing this out to, but I've heard it from several people. Wouldn't a way to save money in both communities be to combine libraries? And I want to get your take on that.
Whenever you start talking about combining things, you need to take a look at where the savings are actually going to happen. Sure, there's some overhead, probably some administration, but what do you lose in potential service? And that also has to be evaluated. So I'm for exploring options. So if it turns out that there is a desire to really explore that, by all means, let's look into it. But my gut tells me that this community, and I mean Bloomington Normal, that the footprint is large enough to support two buildings, mm-hmm. just from an access standpoint.
There's also some there's a FAQ on the Bloomington Library website that people can go look up that has some information on this. There's several points that people don't tend to appreciate. One of them is both of them are taxing bodies. And so you're not just talking about like combining a structure. You're talking about dissolving two government entities and mm-hmm. recombining them into a new one. They will no longer be associated with a city anymore, so they wouldn't be city taxing body. So then does it become like a county body? It's very unclear how.
Right. Do you form a library district at that point? And yeah. I can't imagine that the residents of Bloomington Normal are going to be all that fond about adding yet another line item on their property tax bills.
We already have more than most states.
Exactly. And then you have to just think about the difference. Another thing you have to think about is the difference in the populations you're trying to serve there. Mm-hmm. Where Normal's got, the college students, and you've got a very different type of need in that library for programming, for resources, than you would for the Bloomington has Wesleyan, but it's bigger, it has a different population and makeup, and so if you were to combine them, you still would have to your point, how much would you save if you're still going to have to offer programming that is so different. So,
and let's not forget how much the two libraries complement each other.
Yeah, I mean you can already check out stuff from either library.
And exactly, so and different programming. I mean, people in Normal use the Bloomington Library, and vice versa, and that's important.
Yep.
So I'm going to backtrack a little bit on another one of your talking points is you're proud of your experience. How important is experience for town council or city council people to serve?
I wouldn't say that it's 100% necessary, but I think it helps. My experience on planning commission helped me hit the ground running.
Yeah.
There is no question about that. Going back to my days as a news reporter and just having covered some government issues, school board, city councils, I mentioned earlier, and even though that was a long time ago, that helped hit the ground running. So, yeah, I think it makes a whole lot of difference. And like most things in life, if the answer seems easy, somebody's probably already thought of it, and there's probably a number of good reasons why it can't work that way or doesn't work that way. And, And I think most—it's not like people aren't capable of learning this, but I think the experience gives you a huge head start and does make you more successful and more impactful.
So it's not just the experience on council, but your previous experience on the commission, on the planning commission that you're talking about there too.
There are a lot of people running for the three spots that are open. There's eight people. Were there that many when you ran? Do you recall the candidate pool?
There were four running for three.
Four years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you attribute that increased interest and wanting to run for those spots?
I don't know. I mean, I really, it's good. I don't. I think that we live in an unusual political climate right now for a lot of reasons. And I think people are much more interested in getting involved in local government. It was President Obama that said, you know, if you're mad, go get some petitions and run. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. I've joked with several people. While, you know, having to run a race against seven other folks for three spots is personally inconvenient for me, it's good for the community. It's good for democracy. And I suppose I'll make that trade, right?
Sure.
So I don't know if it is any one thing. You know, the fact that Jeff Ritson is retiring, people do know that there will be at least one new person on the city council. So I think that also plays into it.
It must be strange. I personally started getting very heavily involved after the 2016 election. I always considered myself a political person, but that basically meant following the goings-on at the federal level and not really participating in anything other than voting. I was very inspired after 2016 to achieve a goal that I've had a while, to be more informed and involved locally. And a lot of people seem to have similar thoughts to that mm-hmm. regard. It must be odd to you, to some degree, to see all of us newcomers coming on. You know, you were doing planning and running for council before it was cool, you know?
It's cool.
I was going to say, it's news to me.
So what was that? How's that experience been for you?
You know, I don't know that I've thought about it that way. You know, I have noticed. I mean, that's part of it. You expect folks to come along behind you and get involved. I mean, I don't expect to do. I hate to break it to you guys, but none of us are going to live forever, and therefore none of us are going to do what we're doing forever. So I don't know that I've ever viewed it that way. I think at times when you look at you know, my generation, I guess I'm an Xer, 45 years old. I sometimes wonder if my generation is actually doing its part. I mean, if you kind of look around, it seems that there are a lot of folks maybe 10, 15, 20 years older than I am, and a lot of folks who are 15, 20 years younger than I am. And I'm wondering where my age group is. But maybe that's, you know, maybe that's a bias I have naturally.
Yeah, we millennials were raised to think that we're awesome at everything, so it makes sense that we would all be running for council positions now.
Maybe you are awesome.
We special little
stuff. A lot of things.
So, yeah, I do wonder if some of the friction in Normal is being caused by people who have just gotten involved recently, because these plans have been around for a mm-hmm. while, and the momentum for these projects have been going for some time. And now someone comes in, looks around, and says, wait, we're going to tear this building mm-hmm. down and build another one here. Like, well, yeah, we built the CVS building. We built the transit station. We built the parking garage. We built the hotels. There's been a lot of building going on. And these are not new ideas right. and new plans, right?
And not just building for building's sake. I mean, you know, we're making an investment in the core of our community, and that has so many benefits, including the fact that once the TIFs expire and have done their job, you know, that's going to be a lot. We have created a lot of EAV, a lot of property value that will be taxed, and all the taxing bodies, most particularly Unit 5 schools, are going to benefit from that. You go uptown at any time of, practically any time of day or night, and see how busy it is.
How was that lunch there today?
Yeah,
that's the Rock.
It's exciting today. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for visiting.
Delicious.
You didn't come by campus to say hi, but I'll let that go.
In my opinion, best fries in Normal. And if the Rock wants to sponsor us with French fries, I would be totally on board with that.
I had a salad.
I'm feeling that maybe there is, you know, maybe there needs to be some more extensive research on the fries, the best fries in Bloomington Normal. And, you know, obviously a lot of data is going to need to be collected to make that determination.
Yeah,
so
it's a whole other podcast.
You know, if you need some help, I'm willing to volunteer my services. But, you know, the other thing I'd like people to remember about Uptown specifically is that, you know, Illinois State University is the largest economic impactor for Normal. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you want to look at it, either the largest for Bloomington Normal or the second largest. Mm-hmm. But everybody agrees it's a huge, hugely economically impactful. Uptown One has been a great recruiting tool for the university. Or Uptown Normal has been a great recruiting tool for the university. I mean, you hear that all the time. The university hears that feedback from parents, from students themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's not forget about kind of that extra piece. No. It is important.
One thing I've been pushing a lot, and by pushing, I mean talking a lot about, is how great Uptown Normal's relationship is with Illinois State University, especially when you compare, I think, again, I'm from Bloomington. I think downtown could do such a better job. Downtown Bloomington could do such a better job with Wesleyan being so close. You know, for example, in Uptown, you have the red lights, you have Reggie painted places, you have red signs in areas, and I wish Bloomington would get more on that board too. So, speaking of comparison the two, I want to touch on this before our time ends. Council unison is important to you in Normal. And Normal, I think, gets some flack for kind of all, like, people are saying the vote's decided before the meeting. And then you could contrast that to Bloomington, where it looks like they haven't talked to each other since the last meeting. So that those are my words, by the way. But where is that? What's your answer to the people that say that all these decisions are already made? They're just put on a show at these council meetings.
Well, I suppose you could make make a case that any city council in the world is putting on a show at its meetings, that's another story. You know, council unity has its place, and we are not always unified. I think sometimes there's a lack of understanding of how the process works in all sorts of government. You know, you could say that about the federal level. You know, of course, there are still, well, maybe not at this particular moment, but you know, there are still bills passed all the time in Washington with bipartisan support that, you know, maybe they're just, it's just a matter of doing business. It's not exciting, but it doesn't get any attention. So I think part of the issue. The fact is that the town does an extensive planning process. Every fall, we go through a strategic planning. Every individual council person brings his or her issues and initiatives to that. And we get together over 2 days. This is a public meeting. Now, I don't blame people for not necessarily, you know, sitting there for 14 hours over 2 days, but it is a public meeting, and we hash this stuff out, and we vote on priorities. And that is, you know, that becomes essentially the marching orders for the next 12 years. And yeah, and here's what staff is responsible for. Here's what council is going to have to decide. So that's part of it. The other thing is, and again, you know, we have a lot of two-on-one meetings, and that's perfectly legal, where mm-hmm. two of us are allowed to meet with the city manager, and that's how the city manager communicates with us.
Right.
A lot of times, the city manager will take our temperature on opportunities that come up. And if she senses that there's just no interest here, why waste staff time pursuing it just so it can go and have a 2-5 vote and be voted down? So I'm not sure that people necessarily understand, you know, that part of it. And I think that that's part of the problem. And the other thing I'll say is people should know how they're voting when they walk in the door. Yeah. If I don't know what I'm voting on an issue, by the time I've shown up to the city council meeting, I've not done my job.
Right.
That does seem strange to me. Some people, I've almost heard them say that like as a virtue, as if they're open-minded, or and that has always struck me as kind of odd that you would wait to be swayed by what happened in a hour meeting.
I'll even talk about from a planning perspective. I mean, being on planning commission, I drive by the property before I come to that meeting. You know, I've read through the materials.
Used to do that all the time.
So it's just part of being prepared. Now, could something come up at the meeting that could give you pause or hesitation? Sure, but that should be, you know, not the norm.
Right, and that has happened to me a time or two.
Yeah.
But right, that is not typical. And I also cannot criticize what works or doesn't work for other people that serve. But I'm just I would feel, you know, a little bit like the nightmare that we all have where we've shown up to class for the final and we've skipped class all semester and now I have no idea what's going on. You know, that I don't like that feeling of not being prepared.
You ever see anybody flip a coin while they're on the dais?
No.
We talk a lot about Uptown. So
it's more rock, paper, scissors.
I want to get your idea. Besides Uptown Normal, what are some other areas in Normal that you would like to see focus put on?
Well, I think if you leave, and again, this takes time, and for folks who are involved or want to be more involved, look at the town website. You know, we just passed a comprehensive plan, and the comprehensive plan gets into great detail about our overall plans for all parts of the city. And again, it's a plan. Things change. We may have to react. The environment changed. That's why that plan gets updated periodically. But there is a lot in there about neighborhoods, about, the issues about land use, about how we're planning for technological changes, how we're going to be more inclusive, how we're going to be more economically inclusive. There's a lot there. And again, it's heavy reading. It's not something that you're going to, curl up with some hot cocoa with next to the fire. Well, maybe you will, Justin. But I would really encourage anybody take the time to look at that.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way about Bloomington's.
What a huge process and lengthy process. We had 1,800 people respond to the survey for the effort was called Planet Normal, not Planet with an E, Plan It Normal. and you know, here's the other thing, the shocker. The vast majority of those 18, the data indicated of those who participated, people are happy with the direction the town of Normal is taking.
Sure. I think that how I view the plan, for better or worse, is that's your starting point when you confront an issue. Mm-hmm. And you can deviate from that because the plan doesn't always make sense.
Sure.
It can get outdated. There could be extenuating circumstances. But that's where you begin, and then you allow evidence of a particular case to move you away from that if necessary. Because is it perfect? No. I mean, we didn't pull every single person, and it's done by a consultant and a group of people who are people trying to do a certain job. So you can poke holes in it if you want, but I don't know a better starting point if you're trying to make a decision for the city than the comprehensive plan.
That's exactly right, and that's what you work toward. And nobody can guess what the world is going to look like with perfect accuracy in 25 years where, that plan is created with the best information we have at the time it is created. So, yes, absolutely, things come up, and that is why the plan is frequently updated. And that's why, and if people just want to get involved, next time that plan comes up, there are opportunities all the time.
Yeah.
To, show up at meetings, to contribute, to roll up your sleeves and have a say. It's not all done at the city council. In fact, I don't know that people understand maybe how little of it is done at or by the city council.
That's fair. So projecting in 20, 25 years and getting out your crystal ball, does Bloomington Normal have a sports complex?
Does it have one, or do I want one? Well, so that's the – okay, so that I just want to clarify the question.
In RC's future.
Given the expense, I don't know how we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. It would take significant private investment, and it would take both communities. And again, I think we're making progress on working together, but it's going to take both communities saying – yeah, this is worth the money. And then we have the location issue and how is that going to benefit each community and is it going to warrant the investment? So there's no doubt in my mind that this would be an economic benefit to the community just from the sheer numbers of visitors it would bring and the amount of money those folks will spend while they're here. but is it practical? I've been on the record with this before. I do think it's a great opportunity for us, but you don't always have the money for every opportunity that comes along. Otherwise, we all would have invested in company X when we had a good feeling about it.
Is the details of it for me are still a bit unclear. You can only follow so many topics at once, and I've elected to not delve deeply into this one. Would the vision be for it to be a government-owned facility or to provide an incentive for a private entity to own it? Or
I think,
is that still up in the air?
I think it's still up in the air. I think there are different paths that could happen with it. It could be it could be government operated. That is probably the most likely scenario. And then maybe the private investor would invest in some development around it, so that's where their profit eventually would be made. But again, it's still awfully early. We've been working on due diligence to see, really to do some fact checking on the consultant report, and that's been a lengthy process. Not that you pay the consultant to do the job. Some people have been skeptical. I don't want to say cynical, but skeptical about some of the numbers in there. Well, Bloomington and Normal have now in the background been doing kind of their own research to see, does this all add up? So far, it does. But again, are we going to be able to put together a package that is mutually agreeable and that we have a revenue stream to pay for? I'm skeptical that we're going to be able to get that done.
So I'm going to ask a similar question that I asked Kathleen Lorenz when we talked to her. Why can't we do something on a smaller scale that still benefits and fills some of the needs that we have? For example, we're going to need soccer fields. We know that. We talked about with Kathleen cricket fields and having regulation cricket fields in the community. I think of Champion Fields as an example. You have the concession stand and the softball field surrounding it. Why can't we just start with something like that? A concession stand, a soccer field on one side, a cricket field on the other.
And the report addresses that. The report addresses optimization.
Sure.
Of size versus the potential investment versus the potential reward, and that's the short answer.
But I understand there's a break even point and of what's going to draw the people in to spend the dollars to pay for itself. I guess I understand that point. But if we're not thinking of it as an economic development tool, and we're just thinking of it as filling the need that our current residents need, which right now is soccer fields, and I can make an argument for cricket fields. Can we work together with that and still make it a place of community that can bring possibly a project together between the town and the city?
I think at that point you're talking about something that just expands on the Parks and Rec Department and services that are offered by both the Bloomington Parks and Rec Department and the town of Normal. So, of course, that's something that can be explored and if there's a need. And, the ongoing issue of soccer, I have a little different perspective from this because after years of coaching with BNGSA, and I know, Justin, you and I talked a little bit about this, particularly it's a little different now that we're at the older levels. We tend to play mostly at Champion or Maxwell. But, I couldn't tell you how many times I was headed to the wrong field.
Yes.
I have to ask, are we headed to Normal Community today? That happens. Mm-hmm. I understand it's not necessarily optimal or it can be frustrating. So, and central location is always preferred. So, again, those are options down the road. So, if that emerges as the best option, I think there is a possibility that could happen.
Well, we really enjoyed talking to you, RC. We're about out of time, but before we go, we want to give you a chance to let people know how to find out more about you. So where's the best place to do that?
Sure, rcmcbride.com. I also have a Facebook page that you can check out that has all the information on it, where I stand on issues, the record, how you can help. If you don't mind me putting in, you put in a plug for French fries, so I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah. So what's that, RC McBride for Normal or something like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Facebook will find it for you. Just Google my name.
They're probably listening
to Facebook
now.
My name.
They already know you want to look at it.
You joke. I appreciate the time. And do I have time for maybe kind of a closing thought?
Oh, yeah, sure.
If there's one thing that through this process I'd like people to kind of keep in mind is I've been surprised in 4 years or almost 4 years on council how many people think that being on the normal city council or the Bloomington City Council or the county board, for that matter, is, you know, is a full-time job, or it's, you know, our career or my career, and it's not. I mean, it really, this is government of the people, by the people, for the people. This is it's civic involvement, it's community service. And that's why, again, particularly if I could take myself out of it, it's actually exciting that 8 people are running for 3 spots. That's important. And I would just, and for those who run, I know how difficult it is to put yourself out there in any way. It's hard. It's hard to run. So that makes the fact that, again, 8 people are running all the more impressive. So, you know, just kind of keep that in mind when folks are walking around knocking on your door, and, you know, they're not trying to bother you or take you away from your, you know, your basketball game you're watching on TV. They're trying to do what they think is best for the community. Now, I may have some differences of opinion with some of those folks on the best path forward for the community, but they're all trying, and I think that's really important to keep in mind. And again, it's city council. It's not the United States Senate. It's not my career. If I wind up not winning, I'll probably be a bear for 3 or 4 days, and then we'll move on. And I would do whatever I could to support the people who do win. Yeah. It's that important.
All right. It's a great way to wrap it up. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it, RC.
Thank you, gentlemen.
That wraps up our conversation with current Normal Town Councilman R.C. McBride. I thought that conversation went well. Always nice to get a incumbent's perspective of how the town is doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that he stood behind his record and was able to articulate why he thought the things were a good idea.
I even really liked how he looked back and realized some of the things that maybe he could have done better or that he regretted. I mean, honestly, how often do you hear any kind of person in any level of politics say they regret something?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool of him.
And I also liked having a radio guide in here so I could learn how to speak properly into a microphone a little bit more. That was a nice voice he brought in.
He's a pro.
Yeah,
for sure. We want to make sure we thank our sponsors. We're recording here at the Play Normal Esports Studio. They're located at 802 South El Dorado Road. So we've talked about how you can come in here and play video games, but keep in mind that they have a streaming studio, which is where we record our podcast at. So if you're one of those people that likes to play games and stream it online, they have a studio for you to do that. So that's at 802 South El Dorado Road in Bloomington. PlayNormalEsports.com for more information.
And also make sure to go check out Little Beaver Brewery. Go to their tap room at 16 Currency Drive, Unit B, over by the Large Gold's Gym, south side of town.
Sounds good. We should go there now.
That sounds like a great idea.
Let's go.
Are you ready to head out?
Yep. Let's end this. Okay. Cheers.
Here we go from the Play Normal Esports Studio. It's PodBN. I'm Tyson.
And I'm Justin.
And we are we thanking the sponsors now?
Sure.
Are we introduce the guests first now?
Let's we already said Play Normal Esports Studio.
Yeah.
So that's one.
So we should introduce the guests and then we can thank Little Beaver. Okay. Today on we have PodBN Election Editions. It's Election Edition.